أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا ونبينا وطبيب نفوسنا وحبيب قلوبنا أبي القاسم محمد صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم، لا سيما بقية الله روحي وأرواح العالمين لتراب مقدمه الفداء. السلام على الحسين وعلى علي بن الحسين وعلى أولاد الحسين وعلى أصحاب الحسين. يا ليتنا كنا معكم سادتي، فنفوز فوزا عظيما. صلوات اللهم صل على محمد وعلى محمد. Dear brothers and sisters in Islam, السلام عليكم جميعا ورحمة الله وبركاته. وأعظم الله أجورنا وأجوركم بمصابنا بالحسين وأولاد الحسين وأصحاب الحسين. As we are peacefully sitting here commemorating the Majlis of Abu Abdullah al-Hussein, you might have heard of the news that was it earlier today that there was a typhoon in Philippines and has affected millions of people. We share our sympathy with them, and may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala look after all those who are sort of affected by this. God knows already how many families, how many homes are broken, how many people have become homeless. So these so-called natural disasters that are disasters in the one hand, on the other hand, are all really very important wake-up calls to the whole mankind, that you see that how easily human's civilization of the 21st century can be within few, sometimes seconds, destroyed. All right? And inshallah, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wake us all up and bring this such so-called sad news, bring us closer to Him and make us more vigilant and aware of the reality that we are all mortal. We are on this melting pot on earth, so vulnerable to die. So that's why we need to always be prepared for the life after death, inshallah, and be dutiful to our religion. Don't ever take it for granted that until you get to your 70s and 80s, nothing is going to happen to you. Within a few seconds, a simple earthquake, like typhoons, storm, hurricane, or such anything can really take our life so easily away forever. In Islamic jurisprudence, when we are talking about the laws of transactions, categorically, our jurists say that there are three types of transactions. The first, that is most of types of the transactions, is whatever that is permissible and mubah. Inshallah, we'll mention some of them. It's permissible, and we are encouraged to go for this type of transactions, do businesses that is halal and mubah, permissible to do. The second is a type of transaction that is makruh, better not to do it. Now, when we talk about makruh, sometimes the situation changes and therefore the rule changes. Something that is like in certain situations makruh, it even becomes mustahab, if not sometimes wajib. I'll give you an example. In our riwayat mentions that to be jazzar, to be a slaughterman, to be a butcher selling meat is makruh. But you have to understand that these riwayat are not talking about for a Muslim she let's say slaughterman who knows how to slaughter an animal living in Denmark, for example, living in an Islamic, non-Islamic country. Not only here it's mustahab for certain people, it even becomes wajib. Because Muslims, they need to have meat living in Copenhagen, for example, and they don't know how to slaughter a chicken. They are scared even to look at it. So if you've got experience and expertise to do that, it becomes wajib on you to do it. At least it's mustahab for you to go for that business, providing people halal meat. Okay? The same applies for selling kafan, the shroud that we are wrapping the dead person with. It mentions that it is makruh in northern situations, but for some people also it becomes very mustahab or sometimes wajib. If we don't have any, you know, any shroud, we cannot bring it from overseas. Who is supposed to do that? Somebody has to look after such obligations. And there are certain kind of businesses that are haram, and we have to make sure we avoid them. Otherwise, the money that we earn through those haram businesses, according to the expression used in the Quran, is suht. Suht, it means void. Suht, it means haram and batil. All right. One of the first that indisputably is haram to be involved in it is any business that has anything to do with wine, with alcohol, alcoholic beverages, including fuqa', including the beer. All right. Any type of business. Inshallah, I will give you more examples on that. But first of all, there is no doubt that drinking alcohol in Islam is forbidden. Clearly, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions that. In fact, the tone of the ayat that we have about drinking alcohol, and when I say alcohol, I'm speaking English. I'm talking about wine, particularly, and beer. All right, these things that are intoxicating, if you know the term. Any type of drink that is intoxicating is forbidden to drink of it, even a sip of it. So those who try to fool people because they want to sell their product and say that moderate drinking is okay, this is nonsense. There's no moderate drinking. People get addicted to it, and therefore they cannot control themselves. In Islam, even a tiny drop of alcohol is forbidden. If somebody is making a pot of food and just a drop of wine is dropped in it, and unfortunately, I came across some ignorant Muslims, I should say, that they use it as a flavor or something in their food. They think that it's only one drop and Sheikh is boiling in the pot. I said, whether boiling or not, one drop of alcohol, one drop of wine or beer in your food, it makes the food najis and haram to eat. Or buying fish or something that they use it as a batter, for example, to batter the fish or the meat. Again, you have spoiled it. You cannot touch that meat at all. It makes it haram. The issue of the prohibition of alcohol is so serious that in Islam it is even forbidden to sit around a table where alcohol is served. There's a business meeting, for example, millions of dollars involved, and you are invited to that meeting and you have to sit around a table, discuss a business, having a business meeting with some very successful big companies, for example, the CEO of a company sitting there having a meeting with you to sign a contract, and there's alcohol on that table. It's forbidden to sit around that table. You have to, as a Muslim, introduce your protocol and tell them that I'm happy to have a meeting with you, but without alcohol. If you want to drink somewhere else, and then we sit and have our negotiation discussions that we want. Imam Sadiq alayhi salam was invited to a royal dinner. All the leaders of the madhahib, they were there, and as soon as the tablecloth was laid down, unfortunately, an imam was sitting, the servants, they brought the bottles of wine. The bottle of wine touched the tablecloth, and the imam stood up. They say, Ya Ibn Rasulullah, what happened? Where are you going? It's disrespectful. The king is here. The imam says, because the prophet had said that, my grandfather, the prophet said, مَلْعُونٌ مَنْ جَلَسَ عَلَى مَائِدَةٍ يُشْرَبُ عَلَيْهَا الْخَمْرِ. Cursed is the one who sits around a tablecloth where on which wine, alcohol is served. I don't want to be cursed. And I don't care what type of meeting is this. The imam left it. All right. So please be very careful. Uni students, if you have a meeting with your supervisors or some people, graduation ceremonies, I don't know whether you have formal or not, and anywhere that alcohol is served, avoid it. Quran doesn't say only that it's haram to drink, that you say that, oh, I'm not drinking. The guy next to me is drinking. My teacher is drinking. My boss is drinking, not me. Quran says, fajtanibu. Fajtanibu, it means avoid it. Stay away from it. That's why according to majority of our fuqaha, alcohol is even najis. Huh? It's not only that I'm supposed to avoid drinking it. It's najis so that Islam says you even don't consider touching a bottle of alcohol. A glass of wine, for example. The one who doesn't get close to it to touch it because he knows that it's najis. It's like urine. It's like any, you know, blood. It's a najis. And inshallah we'll talk about it, that to purify it is more difficult than purify blood even. Okay? A glass of wine that has become najis, it is more difficult and there's more washing involved in it than washing a glass of a glass that has been touched by blood, at least according to ihtiyat. Sallu ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad. Today was Friday, and as I had mentioned to you earlier, Fridays belong to Imam al-Hujja Jalallah Farajul Sharif, especially tonight, the night of Saturday, for the reasons that, number one, our ulama, they have divided different days, dedicated them to different imams of Ahlul Bayt al-Musalam, so that we are always in touch with our leaders. Every day of the week, we are in touch and connected with some of our leaders. And another reason for that is that because according to the riwayat, Friday or perhaps Saturday is the day that we should expect the appearance of Imam al-Hujja Jalallah Farajahu Sharif. For that reason, and to have taken advantage of an opportunity throughout these discussions that we have, I decided to share with you tonight and dedicate the topic of tonight to some discussions about Imam al-Mahdi Ajjalallahu Ta'ala Farajahu Sharif. And this discussion is definitely like the last straw that we can have in any discussion, that why is it that I'm a Shia and I've decided to follow the path of Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam. The issue of Imam Mahdi ajjalallahu ta'ala farajahu sharif is definitely one of the most convincing reasons for that. Because all Muslims, jazakallah khaira, all Muslims are unanimous. Shia and Sunni narrators have narrated a hadith with reference to Al-Mahdi, to Imam Mahdi. It's not only a Shia issue. It's not that we have it only in the books of the Shia. Sahih Bukhari has, Sahih Muslim has, Sahasat they have. Some of them not very explicit, some of them more explicit. But in general, the concept is found in all books of Ahadith. In fact, the concept before the books of Ahadith is found in the Holy Quran as well. In Surah Qasas, for example, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions, لَغَدْ كَتَبْنَا فِي الزَّبُورِ مِنْ بَعْدِ الذِّكْرِ أَنَّ الْأَرْضَ يَرِثُهَا عِبَادِيَ الصَّالِحُونَ. We have written in the Psalms or in the previous scriptures, depending on the meaning of Zabur, after the Zikr, after, if Zikr here we say it means for Torah, that means Psalms of David. If Zikr means that whatever the revelation that is with Allah. Anyway, we have mentioned in the previous scriptures that the earth will be inherited by the righteous people. And so many riwayat says that the righteous people at the end of the day of the life of man on earth are pure Muslims. That they will be inheritors of the earth. They will be ruling the earth. So as Muslims, not as Shia, as Muslims, we believe time will come that the religion of Islam becomes a universally accepted religion. And there will be one global state, and it's an Islamic state. All right? And that's the time that the last successor of the Prophet will appear. That's the time that, according to Sahih Bukhari, Jesus Christ will come back to earth. As you know, Muslims and Christians both believe in the ascension of Jesus. The difference is that Christians, they mistakenly believe that Jesus was crucified and was ascended 3 days after his crucifixion. Whereas Muslims, they said there was no crucifixion. وَمَا قَتَلُوهُ مَا صَلَبُوا وَلَكِنْ شُبِّهَا عَلَيْهِمْ. They did not kill him, they did not crucify him, they made a mistake, they took somebody else. In fact, the perpetrator of introducing Jesus himself, he was trapped and was crucified. Anyway, but the point is that both Muslims and Christians, that together they make a big portion of believers on earth, so to speak, time will come that again they will be united, all become Muslims. Both Christians and Muslims. How? When Jesus Christ comes back to earth, and in Surah Al-Ma'idah towards the end of it is mentioned that Jesus Christ declares him and introduces himself to Christians and says that anyone believes in me, follow me then. I never told you to take me as God and any deity and things like that. Bukhari narrates that time will come that when Jesus comes back to earth, he prays behind a person who is from a descendant of the Prophet of Islam. Kaifantum wa imamukum minkum. When Jesus comes back, the Prophet says that how you Muslims will be when you see that Jesus Christ is back to earth and he prays behind an imam from you, from Muslim community. In another hadith that again Bukhari has mentioned that, and the narrator says that I was there, but I was young, I heard the Prophet saying, but I did not hear it clearly. I asked my dad later on, what did the Prophet say? And my dad completed the hadith, that the Prophet says, لا يزال هذا الدين قائما حتى يكون 12 خليفة. This religion will stand on the right path, the religion of Islam, as long as there are 12 successors. The Prophet continues, says something else. The guy says that I didn't hear it. That's how it is in Sahih Bukhari. Now, whether he didn't hear it or he didn't want to hear it, sometimes, you know, we have selective hearing. We hear what we want to hear. Whatever the case is, he says, I ask my dad, and my dad says that, yeah, the Prophet said, كلهم من قريش. All of those 12 successors of the Prophet, that they maintain the religion of Islam, staying on the right path, they are from the tribe and the clan of Quraysh. Imam Ali alayhi salam later on, referring to that, he says that they did not quote the Prophet properly. Because yes, they went to the tree, but they forgot about the fruit of the tree. Let me explain this. The tree, imagine like there is a clan, there is a tribe, and in that tribe there are numbers of families. One of the outstanding distinguished families in the tribe of Quraysh is Bani Hashim, the grandfather of the Prophet, where the Prophet comes from. The descendants of the Prophet are all from, are called Bani Hashim, the Sada that we refer to them today. So Imam Ali alayhi salam says the Prophet didn't say kulluhum min Quraysh. Yes, it is correct, kulluhum min Quraysh, because Bani Hashim are also part of Quraysh clan. But the Prophet was more specific. He said that كلهم من بني هاشم, they're all from my offspring. In fact, Bukhari and others, Ibn Majah, Darimi, and these are the eminent Sunni narrators and the imams of hadith. They narrate that the Prophet has said that المهدي من ولد فاطمة, he is one of the offspring of my daughter Fatima. So there's no doubt that the Prophet was more specific. When it comes to the ahadith of the Shia, you see that even we have narrations through Imam Ali from the Prophet that the Prophet has specifically named those 12 Imams and Khalifa. This story goes back to more than really almost 20 years ago. Somewhere in Africa, I was having a discussion with one of the Imams, one of the very eminent Sunni scholars of that area, that a few years later that I was not there anymore, I heard that alhamdulillah he had embraced Shia and declared himself as a Shia, which caused him a lot of problem. But anyway, the point of discussions that I had in his house, I paid him a visit in his town, and point of discussion was this. I raised this hadith to him and I said that, have you, Maulana, Sheikhna, have you read this hadith that the Prophet said that in Sahih Bukhari, لا يزال هذا الدين قائما حتى يكون 12 خليفة كلهم من قريش. He said, yes, there is this hadith. I said, can you please explain to me who are those 12 successors of the Prophet? Let's start counting. Simple maths. واحد أبو بكر, ثاني عمر, ثالث عثمان, رابع علي بن أبي طالب, خامس, which one? Do we go to Imam Hassan or Muawiyah? We take it the way that it, because most of them, unfortunately, they don't even recognize the Khilafat of Imam Hassan al-Mujtaba alayhi salam. They go to Muawiyah, Malish. We go to Muawiyah. Khamis, Muawiyah. Sadis, Yazid. Ajib. So the Prophet even has said that Yazid is my Khalifa and la yazal hada dinu qa'iman. This religion will stay on the right path with someone like Yazid. Is it possible? And how far do you want to go? Do you want to go with Bani Umayyah, then go to Bani al-Abbas? Where do you want to stop? I said, please give me 12 names for God's sake as the successors of the Prophet and accept everything else. It's not a big deal. فَبُهِتَ الَّذِي كَفَرْ He was dumbfounded, as we say it in English. He had no answer for me, really. He said, give me some time. I said, all right, I'll be around for a couple of months. I'll come back and see you, or you come and see me. Few months later, again we met. He said, I went and I killed myself. I did my research, thorough research, all the Shuruh Bukhari. I checked them all. No one has any answer for this. They are all giving different hypotheses. If you want to really, put this in front of them, see if they have any answer for it. Up until some years ago, I remember in Hajj, in Masjid al-Nabi, the 12 holy names of the Imams al-Ma'asumin, from Imam Ali alayhi salam to Imam Mahdi, was engraved or on tiles, just beneath the ceiling of Masjid al-Nabi. Just recently, in the last few years, unfortunately, they have removed it. For many, many years, they don't have any answer for it. They're just giving different suggestions. And the bottom line at the end, they say that, we don't know. We don't know who they are. Ajib. The Prophet spoke, what, puzzle? The Prophet just gave you a puzzle? Whereas I told him, why don't you want to open your eyes? When you look at the Shia point of view, the answer, this hadith is easily understood. Easily understood. The 12 Khulafa after the Prophet, you ask a kid in our community, you need to ask a sheikh, and they can tell you the names of the 12 Imams of Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam. As simple as this. One of my teachers, Ayatollah Hassan Zadeh Hafadahullah, he was saying that to prove the points of the Shia, we don't need to refer to one single hadith of the ahadith of Shia at all. The books of ahadith of Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah, our brothers, Sunni brothers, is more than enough for us to prove the points that we want. As long as there is no ta'assub, no one is biased, but they want to look at it really in a very unbiased fashion. So this is also what we have, clearly proves that point. There is an ayah in the Quran that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says it's a big warning. This ayah, although partially it can apply to the Day of Judgment, of course, but applies to the issue of the reappearance of Imam al-Hujjah jalallahu ta'ala farajahu sharif. Brothers and sisters, if we were living at the time of the Prophet and we could see the miracles of the Prophet, yet we turn away, we don't become Muslim, we would be definitely perish, hellbound. Because in front of a ma'asum, and we see the miracle. Likewise, those who were at the time of Imam Ali or any of the Imam of Ma'asumin, yet they don't believe in them, they are hellbound. Someone with the name of Ali ibn Abi Hamzat al-Bata'ini, he became waqifi. He used to be a very eminent Shia scholar, up to Imam al-Kadhim alayhi salam, the seventh Imam. For some reasons that I don't need to elaborate on it now, he denied the imamate of Imam Rida alayhi salam. And la hawla wa la quwwata illa, he died. His friends came to Imam Rida and said that Ali ibn Abi Hamzat al-Bata'ini had died. And we have so many books. He had written books of hadith that he had heard from Imam Sadiq, Imam Kazim. The Imam said when he died in his first night of burial, they asked him, Man Rabbuk, Man Rasuluk, Man Imamuk. He counted until Imam Al-Kazim and Islam said, Thumma. He said, there's no Thumma. Who next? He came up to the seventh Imam and went and asked him, the next Imam said, there's no next. And Imam Rida alayhi salam said that the angels of punishment, they filled up his grave with fire. The narrators, his friends, they say, we freaked out. They say, Mawlana Ali ibn Abi Hamza, he was an author. We have his books. He was our teacher. The Imam says that because the one who yunkir denies any of us is like the one who has denied all of us. أولنا محمد أوسطنا محمد آخرنا محمد كلنا محمد صلوا على محمد وعلى محمد
اللهم صل على محمد وعلى محمد
Alright, so Why it's like this? Someone who is during the time of major occultation may be forgiven if he has an excuse. He hasn't been with the Imam al-Ma'soom. Ali ibn Abi Hamzat al-Bata'ini, who had seen Ali ibn Musa al-Rida, Imam Rida alayhi salam, had seen the miracles of Imam al-Ma'soom, yet he denies for money purposes. I told you I don't want to go to the details of it. He was the wakil of Imam Kazim because Imam Kazim was in jail and he had a lot of money collected, homes and things from people. When Imam Kazim died, he realized that he has to pass it to the next Imam. He said, no, I don't want to do that. It's better to be with me. He denied the imamate of Imam Ali ibn Musa Rida alayhi salam. But during the major occultation, like our time, someone may say that, Ya Rab, I did not see the Imam. I have not seen the Imam al-Ma'soom. I'm not trying to justify it. I hope you understand where I'm coming from. But the literature that I'm reading, it's not convincing me, for example. Honestly, it's not convincing me. But at the time of Imam al-Ma'soom, there's absolutely no such justification. That's why Quran says, what are you waiting for? Are you waiting for God to come down and tell you the truth? Or are you waiting for the angels to appear in front of you as they did in front of Mary and tell you the truth? O يأتي بعض آيات ربك يوم يأتي بعض آيات ربك لا ينفع نفسا إيمانها لم تكن آمنت من قبل. Oh, kasabat fi imanaha khayra. Quran says that if you're waiting for some of the signs of God to come, Imam al-Mahdi is Ayatullah al-Kubra. Huh? Imam Mahdi is the greatest sign of God at the end of the life of man on earth. Because in his hand, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made the spread of Islam globally. The Islamic state to overrule globally. The greatest sign. Quran says, are you waiting for him to appear? And then you say, aha, okay, now I believe in him. It will be too late then. It will be too late then. Once I was running a course on this topic, I had two sushi. You know who are the sushi? You don't know who sushis are. Oh, maybe you do. Sushis are those, that's the name of mate. Sushis are those who are not sure whether they are Shi or Sunni. They are on the edge, they are on the fence. Yani contemplating, what am I supposed to do? Which one is that? When I came to this topic of Al-Imam Al-Mahdi, and I mentioned that, 12 successors, and I quoted this ayah that Quran said, don't wait for them to come. It may happen tomorrow, Saturday, according to some ahadith that we have. If tomorrow Imam Mahdi appears, and he is not from the offspring of the first or second or third Khalifa, no Muslim scholar has ever said that. He is from the offspring of Fatima. He is the 12th successor of the Prophet from the genealogy of Fatima to Zahra, Imam Ali alayhi salam. He's from Ahlul Bayt in a simple language. So if you don't follow, you have not been following the path of Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam, it's going to be too late. And after that, Quran says, فَانْتَظَرُوا إِنَّا مُنْتَظَرُونَ. You wait as the concept of awaiting, and we are waiting as well. But we are waiting while we believe in him. There is a hadith that the Prophet Islam sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says that, wa shuqa ila liqa ikhwani, how eager and earnest I am to meet with my brothers, say brothers and sisters. The companions, they turn and said, Ya Rasulallah, aren't we your brothers? The Prophet said, you are my ashab, you are my companions. But you know who my companions and my brothers are? My brothers and my sisters are those who will be born in a city called Copenhagen. That's with explanation. Of course, the Prophet didn't say that. Will be born somewhere in Europe. She's born in a non-Muslim family. Her parents had no idea about Islam. God blessed her or blessed him. God blessed them to get to know about Islam. They were not biased. Their hearts opened. They saw the noor of the religion of Islam. They embraced it. Even though they were not living in an Islamic state, even though there was no obligation to cover themselves in an Islamic fashion, you see, she goes to the uni as if she is the daughter of an Ayatollah, as if she is living in Qom al-Muqaddas or Najaf al-Muqaddas. Huh? The Prophet says, these are my sisters, my daughters, these are my brothers. They have not even seen me. You guys, talking to his companions, said, you people, you have seen me. You have seen more than 2,000 miracles from me. Of course you have to believe in me. Those people, they did not see me. Yet the Almighty God blessed them and inflamed the light of the nur of Iman in their hearts. The Prophet is eager in earnest in meeting with you. And then the Prophet says, time will come that for Muslims to practice their religion, and especially this is very applicable for those who are not living among Muslims, because you see, majority makes it, if you're living in a suburb in Copenhagen that there are many Muslims, Shia around you, don't you feel comfortable when you go shopping at these sisters that are dressed more Islamic, huh? You feel more comfortable. There is more camouflaging, that there is less attention to you. Whereas if you go to another town, that there are less Muslims, if any, and your wife or your sister is muhajjabe, it's a little bit awkward. Huh? So those who are minority, yet they practice their religion, I say that I take my hat for them, take my imamah for them. Good on them. That shows they look at the confidence they have. I've seen in Australia, and I'm sure here you have examples as well, a girl, she was going to high school, a girl's high school, more than 700 students there, she was the only girl with hijab. Do you get, do you take a photo at the end of the year? I don't know whether you have this culture as well. In Australia, we have it. At the, you know, like the school photo that we take, or at the end of any year. When you look at her school photo, all the girls in that photo that they could fit, there is absolutely none with hijab except her. This is the example of Mu'min Ali Fir'aun. Why is it there is one chapter in the Quran named after that great man? Because he was one person in the community of Fir'aun and all family of Fir'aun, all atheists, all disbelievers, all against Moses. There was only one person who was secretly even helping Prophet Moses. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is praising him so much. So much so that eventually when he was killed even, Quran is quoting on the other side of the curtain. See, here now when we are on this side of curtain, we have no idea what is on the other side. Quran, through the revelation, takes us to the other side of the curtain, telling us what happens to Mu'min Ali Fir'aun after he was killed. Said, ليت قومي يعلمون بما غفر لي ربي وجعلني من المكرمين. I wish my community is on the other side of the curtain of this dunya. I wish my parents who are yet become Muslims, my sibling, brothers, sisters, I wish my friends that are not practicing Islam, I wish they knew what God gave me, how much He has honored me, how much He has elevated my status now. She's crying, mom, dad. Nobody hears. Nobody hears. Because we are deaf, dumb, and blind, as Quran says. Summun, bukmun, umyun, fahum, la yaqilun. We don't hear it. Imam Ali alayhi salam, when he took some of his companions to the graveyard, he said that they are more eloquent than you and I. They speak up. The thing is that you guys, you don't hear it. You cannot hear it. Otherwise, don't think that they don't understand. When you go to a graveyard and you read Fatiha, you go to a grave, those deceased people, they notice it, they like it, and they talk. Unfortunately, we are so much in this dunya that we do not hear the echo of their voice. I don't want to take much of your time, but the point I basically wanted to make tonight, to sum it up, is that why is it that I've decided to follow the path of Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam? One of the reasons for tonight is that because I'm awaiting and expecting the coming of Imam Mahdi every minute, every day or night. And nobody knows when he will appear. Because I want to be prepared for when he comes to say, Ya Mahdi, I have been following the teachings of your ancestors. I do believe in you. I do love you. I have been even praying for your coming. Not that I denied you. The concept of Mahdi is so certain in the books of Sunnis even. I don't know if you're familiar with that website. Unfortunately, this man has slipped from the right path. This is again one of the problems of not following the path of Ahlul Bayt al-Musalam. Are you familiar with this that Harun Yahya site? Have you heard of Harun Yahya? Very powerful site. I was always wondering, really, who is behind this website? It is so powerful, so informative. Yet this person has recently declared that he is a Mahdi himself. because of so many riwayat that they have and have, he has decided. And it's funny that he says that Mahdi is from Turkey and tries to just put things together to come up with this concept. All these distortions happen. The fact is that when somebody is forging a coin, it shows there's a real coin. Huh? No one can forge any note that there's no real for it. The fact that you see they are forged people with the claim of being Mahdi by itself proves that there must be a real Mahdi, that these people are claiming to be that one. Of course, they are the wrong ones and the forged one. So because I don't want to be taken by surprise based on that ayah of the Quran, because tomorrow is too late if Imam Mahdi appears, and inshallah will be very soon, before it's too late, I want to declare myself and I say that أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وأشهد أن محمدا رسول الله وأشهد أن عليا ولي الله صلوا على محمد وعلى محمد. All right, as I said, Friday is dedicated to Imam al-Hujjah Jalallah Ta'ala Faraj al-Sharif. Brothers and sisters, pray to God that God will give you the love for your present Imam, an Imam who is Imamul Asr. He is leading the time. The more emotionally you get connected with your present Imam, the closer we will be with God. And the closer we are with God, the safer, obviously, we will be. The actual host of this majalis is none but the present Imam, our living Imam, Imam al-Mahdi ajjalallahu farajahu sharif. I have absolutely no doubt that the lifestyle of Imam Mahdi is exactly the same as the lifestyle of Imam Sadiq alayhi salam. Imam Sadiq alayhi salam went to Basra once, a city in Iraq, met with some of the Shia in the Shia community in Basra, and he asked him, "Atajlisuna wa tuhaddithun? Do you sit together and have any majalis talking about our affairs?" He said that, "Ya Ibn Rasulullah, yes, Alhamdulillah, we have in our houses, we get together and we have majlis. We talk about your ahadith, we learn about our religion through your teachings, and yes, we have majlis for Abu Abdullah al-Hussein as well." The Imam says, "Rahimallahu man ahya amrana." May the mercy and blessing of God be upon those who revive our matters. Without your presence, without those brothers and sisters who organize this whole for this majlis, without the hard work of people who are organizing this majlis, nobody would have been reviving the affairs of Ahlul Bayt al-Musallam in this city, would it? Other than whoever we are, with all respect to you, I'm talking for myself, Ya Sahib al-Asr wa al-Zaman, I'm a sinful person sitting here. I'm ashamed of myself. I'm bad. I confess it that I'm bad. I confess it that at times I've broken your hearts. I confess it that at times you've seen things from me that did not impress you, didn't like it, as you have said it to others. It applies to me as well. But no matter how bad I am, at the end of the day, I know that I love you, and you know I love you. No matter how bad I am, I'm sitting here mourning for your grandfather, Imam Hussein alayhi salam. And I know you love the mourners of Hussein. And I know you have already prayed for them. You've asked Allah's mercy for them. Also, please, these youth are innocent. These youth, their hearts are very pure and clean. Have mercy on me, this sinful sheikh, in respect of these boys, girls, brothers, sisters sitting here. They've come here for what? Would anyone give them money? Is it for money, for dunya purposes that they are here? Other than the love of Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam. And at the same time, they have come to give their condolences to you, Ya Mahdi. We've come to say that we share, you know, feelings with you. We have sympathy with you. We say that we also love Hussein. We want to say that, Ya Mahdi, we can't cry like you because we don't have your knowledge. You've said it that you cry for your grandfather day and night. Instead of shedding tears, you even want to shed blood in agony of your grandfather Hussein. But we are also here to say that we have feelings. We are here to say that when we hear the tragedy of Karbala, sometimes also our tears flow.
یبن الزهرا، یوسف فاطمه، have mercy on us tonight. I don't know whether I will be alive to attend the rest of the majalis of Imam Hussein alayhi salam or not. But Ya Mahdi, show me a proof. Show me a proof that this problem that I have in my life, I want Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in honor and respect of my Imam, to look after me, to take care of me. I make a vow tonight with you, Ya Mahdi. I make a promise to you to do something between me and you. And in return, I'm expecting you to pay attention to me. Wallah, a blink of an eye, a blink of an attention of Imam Mahdi to all of us, brothers and sisters, will solve all our so-called impossible problems. Easily, it will be miraculously, it will be solved. Now, if you like to join me, let's go to Karbala and stay behind your Imam and just listen to him when he's reading the majlis. Part of the majlis, I read it inshallah tonight from the holy lips of Imam al-Hujja ajalallah ta'ala farajahu sharif. As he was standing, subhanallah, the way that the Imam is reading the majlis, it seems like someone who is looking at the tragedy and atrocity of Karbala and is so precisely narrating it to us. And no wonder that the Imam says that instead of shedding tears, I'm about to shed blood. The Imam is standing and looking at the body of his grandfather, Abu Abdullah al-Hussein, in the murder site, in Maqtal. And you just visualize the scene as I'm talking, please. Put your heads down and try to visualize it. I'm talking about a holy, dear Imam, the grandson of the Prophet, part of the heart of the Prophet of Islam, the most innocent and infallible person then existing on this planet Earth, that they have surrounded him from all around. They have severed his head. He has been excessively bleeding from all parts of his body, that his body is like soaking in his blood. Who can stand looking at his father, grandfather like this in that situation? More into that even, his body has been crushed by the hooves of the horses. And all what I'm telling you, these are the descriptions of Imam al-Hujja jalallahu ta'ala farajahu sharif. He's describing the scene. As-salamu ala shayb al-khabib. So painfully the Imam is giving his greetings to his grandfather. My salam is due to the one that his beard was dyed with his blood. As-salamu ala khamis ashab al-kisa. My salam is due to the one who was the last member of Ahl al-Kisa. As-salamu ala gharib al-ghuraba. My salam is due to that Imam who had no more helpers. He cried for help and there was no helper anymore. As-salamu ala sakin Karbala. My salam is due to the one who stayed, who was left on the barren land of Karbala. As-salamu ala al-mazlum bila nasir. The one who was oppressed and there was no helper for him. And then Imam al-Hujja continues and he says that now I can see the scene. Ya Jadda, I can see that they have surrounded you from all the corners around. فَأَحْدَقُوا بِكَ مِنْ كُلِّ الْجِهَاتِ وَأَسْخَنُوكَ بِالْجِرَاحِ تَطَوْكَ الْخُيُونَ. Now I can see that you are surrounded from all corners. They are shooting, someone is throwing a stone, another one arrows. And then Shamr al-Layn or Umar ibn Sa'd al-Layn, he commanded. He said, who will be just riding on the holy body of Abu Abdullah al-Hussein? 10 horsemen volunteered themselves and they started running on the holy body of Hussein. Allah la'natullah ala al-qawm al-zalimin wa say'alamu al-lazina zalamu. أيام قلب ينقلبون أمن يجيب المضطر إذا دعاه ويكشف السوء أمن يجيب المضطر إذا دعاه ويكشف السوء أمن يجيب المضطر إذا دعاه ويكشف السوء
أمن يجيب المضطر إذا دعاه ويكشف السوء. أمن يجيب المضطر إذا دعاه ويكشف السوء. بجاه محمد وآل محمد وبحرمة الفاتحة مع الصلوات.